Hey, I'm Tracy Burns. Welcome to Wine on the Street. We are back at Zachy's. Andrew McMurray, Vice President, here with us with a ton of wines. Andrew, what's going on here?
It's work, right? You're gonna do the air quotes there. It's work. We gotta get it done. What better way to learn than is to taste first, right?
I should first set the setting here. We are sitting in your pretty damn high-end wine cellar here.
The fine wine room, we call it.
Fine wine. Okay, fine. It is pretty damn fine. There are some beautiful wines in here.
Thank you. It's a bit of an oxymoron, right? We're sitting in the fine wine room, surrounded by great bottles from Bordeaux and Burgundy and Champagne and the Rhone. All, you know, some of these, you know, ranging into the thousands of dollars a bottle. But we're here today to talk about barbecue wines, which
are value. But I love this. So, barbecue season, everyone, of course, comes up every year. What should I drink with barbecue?
Yep.
Burgers, ribs, chicken on the grill, really anything. Fish on the grill. You name it. We could drink wine with it.
Yep. And you know, the key to whenever people come to us and they're talking about barbecue and barbecue season is the wines have to have, you know, for lack of better terms, they need to have a fair amount of fleshiness to them, right? You want to have something that's going to have enough fruit to kind of hold up to a variety of different food styles. If you're putting, you know, grilled red peppers on your burger, you know, and so you're going to have spice, but you also want to have the wines, you know, be complementary. So you don't want to serve anything that's going to be too heavy or too tannic. Or too light or too delicate.
Big cabs are off the list automatically?
They're off my list.
Okay, fair enough.
People might like them, but it's, it's got to be, you know, the wine has to be, you know, because then if you're going into big cabs, then you want it to, that needs to be a little more pensive, right? You want to be sitting down and eating a nice piece of like, you know, rack of lamb and where you can, you know, really focus on the food and smell the wine. But, you know, I don't know what the barbecues are like that you go to, but, you know,
it's
the ones I go
chaos.
To, right, you're lucky if you get a wine glass, right? You might be drinking out of a red Solo cup.
Yep.
Which is fine. We're not pretentious here at Zachy's.
Okay.
And, so you just want the wines to be, you know, good fruit-driven wines with, you know, good balance.
Every year I say I'm going to get those dishes that have the cutout for the glass.
Yeah.
Because I have yet to, right? How do you, for the most part, you're eating standing too.
Yep.
You're eating, drinking, standing. So all the more it's complicated. Okay, but what I love is what you have in front of us here is it's not just red, not just white. It's everything, including fabulous rosé.
Yep.
So does it matter? Like when I come in and I say to you I'm having a barbecue, I probably should tell you what I'm grilling?
What you're grilling for sure. So if you're doing, you know, burgers being, you know, National Burger Month as well, you're going to want to have something that can hold up to that red meat, you know, flavor profile versus if you say, hey, I'm having friends over and we're doing grilled shrimp and swordfish, then you're going to, you know, you're not going to want to hammer, you know, a California cab against that.
The burger thing could get really complicated, right? Because depending on what you top the burger with,
yep.
Keep people go like total overboard with this.
Yep.
Like, you know, if I'm doing the California version, I put avocado versus the I am all about Swiss and mushrooms.
Right.
It could be two different things.
Right. And for me, again, this is my personal taste. If I'm having people over for a barbecue, I always go the less is more style when it comes to the wine.
Agreed.
Because I never want the wine to overpower the food. And so I'm going to probably hedge more towards a rosé or a, you know, a better white. And if I'm going to go red, I'll go real soft on the red. Because I want the food to stand out.
Okay, so let's do this.
So we're going to start
there
out with
1,000 wines here.
Right.
So or not, or something like that.
You and I have tasted already
okay.
A little bit of 2015 rosé. We're very excited about the 2015 vintage because it's an exceptional year. And this is the AIX rosé. Mm-hmm. Very trendy.
Really nice. Got a little, like, not too. What did you say the last time we were together? What did you call the other rosé that had like kind of no finish to it? Something. It wasn't pump and dump. It was something. I'm going to remember. But this is not that. This has more.
This has. You can feel a little bit more tannin to it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, a little bit more texture. It also has, you know, the acidic twang on the finish, which I like because that's what you want is you want something that's going to cut into the food.
That's exactly what I taste, the acidic tang. I like that. Mm-hmm. How do you say this?
I can never pronounce it, so I just call it AIX.
I presume there's a way to pronounce
right.
it.
Right. I'm not French.
Somebody French is going to email me and tell me I'm a total jerk because
right.
I don't know how to say it.
But it's signature it's, I don't want to say it's the up and coming Domaine Hop, but it's a hop brand. It actually is very good.
Provence,
yeah.
French,
yeah.
Thing.
Okay. Sells for under $20 a bottle. It's hitting on all the right things. And that's great.
That's pretty fabulous, actually. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And again, like if I could do this, I could do this with a burger. I could do this with fish.
Yeah.
They're rosé.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. Okay, now we're going into Loire. We're going Sancerre. And this is the 2015 vintage. So you and I have spoken a little bit about how exceptional 2015 is in France and Italy.
Yes.
And Germany, pretty much all of Europe. And this is actually my first time tasting this. So, I mean, you know, Sancerre is obviously very particular in the nose. And you, people either kind of, I find when it comes to Sauvignon, they either love it or they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I love it.
If you're a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc drinker, they love it. But, you know, the average person, you know, the aromatics on it, you know, might knock them back.
Because you get so much more minerality.
Yeah.
Right? Versus New Zealand is like grass, right? Or
mm-hmm.
like uber citrusy. This is really super nice. And Sancerre is the region, not the grape.
Correct.
Sauvignon Blanc is the grape grown in the Sancerre region.
Correct.
They make it very complicated, the Europeans.
They might say the Americans simplify it too much. So
yeah, you're probably right about that.
Right? So for me, you know, the thing I love the most about this is the texture in the mouth. It's like really even, you know, opens up, but not too heavy, and that gives, and has a certain, it has a sense of weightlessness to the finish.
I love the nose on these wines, though, man.
See what I mean? And whatever you're eating, whether you're eating, you know, you could be eating a burger with this.
Totally.
Or you could be having grilled shrimp, and this is only going to complement it. It's not, it's going to be, you know, a supporting, you know, character in the background.
Yeah, like, I actually think it'll work great with my Swiss mushroom burger.
See, there you
Don't
go.
Don't you think? The mushrooms?
Is that your signature dish?
Is
that what you're,
when I have
you're
a
best
burger,
known for?
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
That's where I'm going with it. If it's certainly not a signature dish, but if I am going all the way on the burger thing, because that would then for me, I don't eat for the rest of the week. If I'm willing to make that sacrifice,
let's just rinse real
quick.
Because we're moving into the realm of Chardonnay. So this is a Bourgogne Blanc from Burgundy, and I always find that Sauvignon tends to hang on the glass a little bit, and so rinse your glass in between shifting it just
so Chardonnay grape from
Burgundy.
Okay.
Yeah. So simple Bourgogne Blanc. Again, most Bourgogne Blancs are done either in relatively neutral wooden barrels or steel tank. Same thing.
That's really super nice. But that unoaked chard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going for here.
Yeah.
As opposed to the California oak.
Right.
Buttery.
So this, you can feel a little bit of oak in the finish. So I think this spruce was done in very large, like I said, kind of fifth and sixth passage wood. So it's just very neutral. So it gives a little bit of roundness to the finish, but it's like, it's all fruit. That's what you want, right?
It's all fruit. It's easy. It's like, but it's not, like I said, that oaky, buttery California cab. Like that would probably be too overpowering, right?
Yeah. Yes, for sure. Or, yeah. It would stand out a little bit too much, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay.
I love it, actually.
So, now...
That's a summery feeling wine, too, to me.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Now we're moving over to Languedoc. And Languedoc is best known for making wines that are truly, truly fruit-driven. So that's what we're talking about today, is for barbecues, you want to have fruit-driven wines.
Oh, wow.
And this is from... the producer's Chateau Pouchot. We'd had their rosé last time.
Just fabulous.
It came in that smoked glass
mm-hmm.
that would had like tannin really and
sandy.
Texture. Yeah,
yep.
It was very, very good. And this is brought in by an importer by the name of Eric Solomon, who is he's pretty dialed into what the American public loves. And,
so that being fruit.
Yeah. And so he works with you know, all the properties that he imports and kind of gives them a little guidance on how to, you know, tinker a little bit.
Mm. I find that, oh wow, that's really, really nice. But again, like not too much. You could see how this would never overpower the food. Now, what's the grape in this?
The Pouchot, I believe, is, and I can tell just from tasting it, the blend's on the back, but it's a Syrah-dominated
wine. Yeah, that's what it
tastes like. And it's got the that crushed black pepper fruit to it. It's more in the kind of dark blue to black fruit. And this is something that I would have with something a little more substantial or something with a little bit of spice.
But Syrah's another one that is like a typical go-to burger ribs wine.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that you say that the French are sort of kind of making wines to make us happy.
Yep.
That's, I'm surprised, actually, that of all the people, the French have any interest in making the Americans happy.
Well, at the end of the day, it's the most important market for, you know, I mean, for
they
a lot of producers.
So high, right?
And they used to make wines that were just strictly, you know, it was all about the terroir. It's whatever the ground's,
yeah,
you know, cranked out is the wine I'm going to make.
Right.
And now, you know, through some changing some of the vineyard practices and softening things up in the cellar, they can have wines that people have to put in their cellar for 10 years to
right,
wait to come
right,
around.
Right. That's,
you know,
the beauty of it now, actually.
We can't wait. We are an immediate gratification sort of market.
And by we, you mean me? Because
yep.
No, I can't wait. I have no interest. And I get it. Like, I do get it, but...
So this is the Acaval Ferrer is a from the Mendoza region of Argentina. It's their Malbec. He's kind of, I don't want to say he's the Rolls Royce of
yeah.
Malbec, but he's a winemaker who you know, really takes his craft to another level. There's a lot of Malbec that's out there that's made like in oceans and tankers and like just kind of lower level swill. He grows his and it does reduce yields in the vineyards, just makes real select Malbec. I haven't had a chance
that
to say
that. Super nice, actually. And I think Malbec, too, is like, not that you want to say it's a lot like a Cab, but I do think that when people are going out looking for a Cabernet, stroll on over to the Malbec aisle. You're
right.
Not going to be disappointed. And it's somewhat interchangeable as far as foods and stuff, right?
Yeah. And so for me, if I had that blind in the glass, his consulting enologist is a gentleman by the name of Roberto Cipresso, who's a very famous Italian enologist. And to me, that has the high-toned acidity to the finish, much like you get in Sangiovese.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you know, a lot of Malbecs are out there that are kind of a little dark and a little flabby. To me, this doesn't taste flabby at all. It's got energy, but certainly a lot of fruit,
lingers,
right?
It's got a nice finish to it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually could really see how this and your... rare, because I eat my burger super rare, like bloody red rare burger, and this would be fantastic.
Yep. Again, you know, it's acidity is key, and you want something that's going to cut through
the fat.
There you go. Okay, so now we're moving on to Paso Robles, which is more central
Cali.
Yep. And certainly in one of the hottest regions out there, a little warmer climate.
This is a 2014.
Yep.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yep, by Broadside. And I haven't, this is my very first time tasting it. We just brought the new vintage in the store. The staff was keen on it.
Broadside, smaller, up and coming.
They are, I'll call them medium, but not, you know, not everywhere yet, but people are really clamoring about them.
That's super smooth for a 14. I gotta say, and I agree with you, Paso Robles is doing some amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to come down on Napa all the time, but with Napa's prices the way they are.
Right. That's the key. That's why they're really making an impact. There's another
yeah.
producer called Dow, who he's making some fabulous cabs there and getting great press from all the critics. And they're selling anywhere from $18 to $30 a bottle. And, you know, that part of Northern California doesn't exist anymore. You know, they occupy the middle. The middle
right.
is gone in Napa.
Right, right. That's super nice.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, you could totally tell how this would taste great with your ribs. You
it's
said
really
lamb chops earlier. I could see lamb chops on the grill with this.
Yeah. Has, you know, a real sweet, you know, mint palate to it, which is, it has tannin and structure to the back end, but I think the sweet mint palate really helps to carry that through.
So this has got that purple Napa cab look
so
about it.
So we're in Napa. This is 2013, and it's Sean Miner is the producer, and it's called Nicole Marie, and it's his kind of, you know, ode to, I don't want to say Bordeaux blend, it's just a blend.
I was going to say, there's got to be Zinfandel here.
Yep, so it's 50, it's half Merlot, a 30% Zin, Petit Verdot, and Petit Syrah. So this is, you know, Sean Miner makes his wines to be, like, consumed.
Drinkable.
Yeah.
Totally
drinkable. Always been the style.
Super smooth, doesn't
yep.
like... It's not sitting on your tongue like a cab does sometimes. Like, it feels
mm-hmm.
like a blanket on your tongue. It doesn't feel like that at all. A blend, actually. This is a great idea, Andrew, actually, because a blend is probably the perfect thing to serve
right.
at a barbecue.
Right. I mean, someone to come into your party and say, hey, Tracy, no, I only want a Cabernet.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say to you, you know, what are you drinking tonight? What are you feeling like? what do you want to have your burger? They're just going to say to you red or white.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And if you serve this thin in the glass, and I agree with you, the Zinfandel totally pops on it.
Totally.
Because it gives a little, it gives the mint palate and the fruit structure as a whole a little bit more richness and sweetness. And that's going to hold up to, you know, that would be a, to go along with something a little more substantial, but definitely not tannic at all in the finish.
No way. Like, so again.
Juicy, juicy, juicy.
Right. But again, like, I could see this working really great with barbecue sauce.
Yep.
Right? The tomato.
Yeah. And Sean Miner is a really good producer. He does very reasonably priced wines, you know, Chard, Cab. It's all under, well under $20 a bottle.
This is 2013 Nicole Marie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder who she is. God bless her little soul.
I have to get that little backstory out of her.
She has a wine named after her.
Yep, it's certainly is inspiration.
All right, so those are awesome.
Yep, good lineup. Nothing's like too heavy or too overbearing. Nothing's too light. You know what I mean?
No way.
It's all about balance.
Can handle the food. It was awesome.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
You're awesome.